Thank you, Gareth. I don't know how long we've been doing this, but I never get used to this. Right. So this is my theme for today, my God, my deliverer, in whom I trust. And we're just in the opening verses of Psalm 40. And this is a picture I nicked off the internet that contains the first three verses. And in truth, these verses were the ones that God gave me about 2 to 3 weeks ago. And I shared them when Debbie, Jackie and I were praying together a couple of Wednesdays ago. And daily, I kept going back to these words. I felt God impressing them on me. But I didn't know what to do with them. You didn't get me preaching on it last week, and that didn't feel right. Shortly after I was given these words, I went to visit a family in one of the neighbouring villages to deliver a food parcel. And I dropped off the food parcel. And I was met by this couple, and they've got two preschool children. And the world was weighing heavily on them. Yeah, they were struggling financially, hence we were delivering a food parcel. But the rains we've been experiencing recently had broken through their roof. They live in council accommodation, and their roof was leaking, and the council repairmen had been out, and standing on the roof and saying that they don't like it up on this roof because they can see all the timbers are rotten, and they just put some tar on the roof to try and stop the leaks, and went away again, and the rains came, and the rain came in again, and then the boiler burst. The boiler is in their baby daughter's bedroom, and it's literally burst. It's ruptured the tank, and the water for 2 hours flooded down through her flooring, through the ceiling, and into the lounge. Sofa, baby's clothes, toys, etc., ruined, and. And you, through your giving, enabled us as a church to reach out to them, not only to support them with their food parcel, but to give them some money to tide them through this crisis. And I went again, this is for the third time I visited them the other day. Things are starting to look good. His car, which was broken down and told as a complete write-off, he's managed to get going in first and second gear and reverse, and has to take his three-year-old son into Yarmouth each day for his nursery and back again, and go back in the afternoon to pick him up and bring him back home. So they travel at maximum 30 miles an hour. So if you come across a car that's going really slow to Yarmouth or back again, it's them. They can't go any faster than that. They felt as though they were in that slimy pit. And throughout that, Dad was saying to me, you know, I pray every night. This is a family who have limited personal means, not just financial, but, you know, they struggle a bit coping with life generally. But he says, I pray every night, and I know good things can come out of bad. He's got a very simple faith. And so when I went to see him this week, I gave him these verses and this picture, and spoke to him about it. And God has been laying these verses, and eventually verses 4 and 5 as well, on my heart. So that's the Genesis. That's where this has come from. I haven't just plucked these verses at random to speak on. God has been laying his heart, and you've been part of it through your giving and helping this family. So let's have a look. Let's just read it. I'm going to read it, and it's in the Passion. You may have a different version in front of you. I waited and waited and waited some more, patiently, knowing God would come through for me. Then at last he bent down and listened to my cry. He stooped down to lift me out of danger, from the desolate pit I was in, out of the muddy mess I had fallen into. Now he's lifted me up into a firm, secure place and steadied me while I walk along his ascending path. A new song for a new day rises up in me every time I think about how he breaks through for me. Ecstatic praise pours out of my mouth until everyone hears how God has set me free. Many will see his miracles. They'll stand in awe of God and fall in love with him. Blessing after blessing comes to those who love and trust the Lord. They will not fall away, for they refuse to listen to the lies of the proud. O Lord, our God, no one can compare with you. Such wonderful works and miracles are all found with you, and you think of us all the time with your countless expressions of love, far exceeding our expectations. So, as the title suggested, my God, my deliverer in whom I trust. So the first three verses we look at are looking at God the deliverer. I waited and waited some more, patiently, knowing God would come through for me. Then at last he bent down and listened to my cry. Graham, I've forgotten these again. Would you hand these out, please? So we're reading this in the Passion. If we were to read it in some of the other translations, this opening line would read something like, I waited and waited, or I waited patiently, or patiently I waited. And that's built around this Hebrew word that you see there before you. It's repeated twice. And it talks of waiting and waiting. It impresses on the reader to be patient in your waiting. Someone's got Psalm 27. Go. So it's the psalmist in the bit that Jackie read, and the psalmist here, that's David, says, wait. And confident. We don't just wait. It's not asking us to just wait and sit and wait, but wait with a confidence, an expectation that God will come and do it, and to be have a heart filled with boldness and courage, not to sit there miserable in our waiting, but to be encouraged and emboldened and expect God. Confidently expect God to appear. Psalm 130.
I am waiting for the Lord to help me. My soul waits for him.
That's why we wait, because we trust in him. We don't trust in our own strength. We don't trust that the local government will step in, the health service will step in. We trust in God. We trust in him. We can confidently expect him. We wait with faith, with hope, with that confident expectation, because we know he will come through. And I love this picture. Then at last, at that moment, he kneels down before us, he stoops. It's intimate. God desires to be intimate with us. He's not a remote God, he's not a distant God. He desires to be close to us and listens to our cry, listens to the cry of our hearts, our yearnings, our sufferings, our worries. God is there for us. Of course, this is David talking in the psalm. He stood down to looking at the danger from the desolate pit I was in, out of the muddy mess I've fallen into. He's lifted me into a firm, secure place and steadied me while I walk along the way. Quite when David wrote this psalm, I don't know. But as we look back through the account of David's life in the Bible, we can see times when things weren't going his way, when life really was difficult, when he was hiding in the cave because Saul was pursuing him. And Saul wasn't the only one who was at that beginning. There were other enemies. And there were times when he was ill and had become injured. And we can relate to something. The muddy mess that David was in, we too find ourselves in. Now, fortunately, there are no marauding armies after me and you. But Oksana was here amongst us. Her family was facing great danger from an invading army. But we can relate to injury. We can relate to illness. We can relate to feeling low, lonely. And God knows, sees the difficulties. And he desires to lift us out of that situation. And place us. And that firmer place includes being firm in his word. It includes Jesus, the rock, not the sand, but the rock. We journey with him. In our hearts. There were times this morning when we were singing songs that are familiar to us, when the verses stopped and there was an instrumental part, that there is an opportunity at that point to cry out from the heart with a new song to God. The things that we're concerned about, the things we want to praise and thank Him for. We shouldn't be just standing there waiting for the next verse to come along. That's our opportunity to meet with God with that new song rising up from within us and praising Him. So we constantly need to be thinking, what's our own new song? What things do I need to be praising, thanking God for? What am I thinking? God, what? Who's got Psalm 98?
Okay. In your
brand
new song to the Lord, He is famous for His miracles and marvels, for He is victorious through His mighty power and holy strength.
These aren't just words on a page. No, we can just sing, oh, you are victorious because of your mighty power and holy strength. But we should be able to relate how He's victorious in our life. How He's brought victory after victory after victory in our life. How His strength has won through for us. How His power has won through for us. And sing that new song. We all experience miracles and wonders, either for ourselves or other people. Otherwise, what's the point of praying? It meant that, you know, those simple prayers that we have, Father, we're going to please make sure there's a parking space and an easy parking space to boot. And you know, God just provides. We then have an opportunity to pray to God, raise up a new song to Him. How should we sing? Who's got Psalm 33? Sing to Him a new song in the best way you can. Don't be afraid. Be bold with your joyful feelings. And even as we sang earlier with the Rem Collective, even though life, the enemy, making things difficult, we have an opportunity to sing with joy and with passion for the things that He is doing, has done, and will do. Last bit of the gospel of the river. A new song rises up. phrase, of course, out of my mouth. Everyone here has been set on free. Many will see this miracle, but stand in awe of them and fall in love. Blessing after blessing comes to those who love and trust the Lord. They will not fall away, for they refuse to listen to the lies. This is a strange rendering of it's not limited to the Passion. Many of the other translations also refer to this as blessing after blessing. But in the Hebrew, Jeremiah is making it clear that we will be blessed. We will be joyous if we're trusting and loving the Lord. But if we're looking away from Him, looking to the world, and in the words of Jeremiah, we are cursed. We're not with God. We're looking to man. We might not be worshipping Satan, but we're definitely not worshipping God. We're not in the light. So we can expect. We need to avoid those who are full of themselves. Hear people talking of themselves and making them sound as though they're godlike. But it's beyond comparison. Who's got Isaiah 55?
for my thoughts are not your